would you like to be able to become bulletproof for property lawsuits? Scott Royal Smith will tell us how to do it. And what's so special about Scott is that he's a real estate investor and asset protection attorney. And Scott is the founder and CEO of Royal Legal Solutions, a firm he built to offer tax, business, and legal strategies to clients all over the US and Canada. So Scott, tell us, how can entrepreneurs become bulletproof to property lawsuits? And I'll be very honest with you, I'm living in the UK at the moment, okay? And what I know about the US is that people there are very litigious. So people have a lot to worry about when it comes to property lawsuits, because there's so many people that can find very inventive ways to sue you, and you need some ways to kind of figure out how to come out of potential issues with properties.
Property Wealth Strategies podcast with Lily Patrashko shares world's most influential property investors, sharing their strategies for making money with property.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of ways that you can build wealth, right, Lily? And thanks for having me on your show. And there's an equally number of creative ways in which you can actually lose all of the wealth that you built, right? So one of the worst things that could ever happen to you in your life is that you work really hard and you strategize and you do all the things that you're supposed to do to be able to get to the wealth that you wanted to get to, so that you can then go live the life that you always wanted to live. And then suddenly something happens, like a car accident that exceeds the limits of liability, or car insurance policy, or some random tenant gets injured inside of your property, or somebody you don't even know gets injured there, or that there's some latent mold issue and somebody gets harmed by that you didn't know about, right? And then all of it gets taken away from you. Lawsuit. So this field of how do you be of asset protection, specifically as it relates to real estate investors, but just more broadly in types of like any type of property that you have, it becomes important for us, for those of us that want to build wealth to become free and want to stay free and stay living that amazing life that we've worked so hard for. It takes some diligence to make sure that you have the proper foundation, the proper castle built around your wealth for asset protection, for the estate planning, for tax, and for the investing. And today we're really focusing on the asset protection part of it.
Great. So tell us, how do we become bulletproof? What needs to be put in place for someone to become bulletproof when it comes to their property wealth lawsuits?
Yeah. So I had a friend. What happened to me is that I was, of course, an attorney, right? I was in my third year of law school, and I bought my first transmission and auto repair shop, a building and the business for the back taxes, and flipped it to be able to graduate from law school without debt. I then continued to invest in real estate because I had just such a big win off it after I was becoming an attorney. And after 2 years of working that, I just continued to buy properties because I wanted to do what Robert Kiyosaki and all those guys told me about. Once you got mailbox money, then you go travel around the world, you date the most beautiful women, and life is amazing. You know, that's everything that I ever wanted. What I found out, though, from a friend of mine that was there, that said he had lost, you know, $3 million from a single lawsuit, and he was extremely well insured. And up until that point, everybody told me, said, hey, if you just have good insurance, you're going to have enough, right? And that's when I learned that, said, yeah, you want your standard liability policy. That's a really expensive policy that gives you a very small amount of coverage, right? And then what you want on top of that is at least $1 million in an umbrella policy. That policy will cost you almost nothing, maybe a few hundred dollars, but it gives you 20 times more coverage than that smaller policy, right? But what I didn't know about until he ended up getting shafted and then telling me about it was that even when you have good policies in place, that not all policies cover all problems. His issue that came up was that he had like a contractual dispute inside of like a deal that he was doing. And because all the assets were in his own name, covered by an insurance policy, he went to his insurance carrier and they said, nope, we don't cover that kind of problem. So you're going to actually end up losing everything covered. I actually found out while suing insurance companies that their business model is actually predicated on collecting premiums and denying coverage. That might not be surprising to anybody here, right? But what it actually means is that even when you take the steps to get the umbrella policy, you can almost always expect that they'll deny coverage and that you have to go to an attorney to sue your own insurance company to get them to pay out of the insurance policy. But if you combine your insurance with the next level of protection, which is some type of corporate protection, like an LLC or corporation or trust, depending upon like where you live and what state you live and what kind of properties you're owning, then that's how you can get the best protection. Because hopefully the insurance company will take care of it. If they don't take care of it and they should have taken care of it, you have a big enough policy to give it to another attorney so that attorney can then sue the insurance company on your behalf. But even if that doesn't work out, you've created enough of a corporate shield around your assets by compartmentalizing each one of them. So that way, in your worst case scenario, you lose very little and at most one property.
Wow, that sounds very fascinating. Any other tips you can share about becoming bulletproof for property lawsuits?
Yeah, so there's as a type of corporate shields that I was telling you about just now, right, is that there's a couple of different ways in which you'd want to use them. So most people are familiar with like the concepts of saying, how would I use a trust, like the living trust? And they've heard of that in context of saying for an estate plan. I say, well, I need to make sure that my assets don't pass through the probate courts, because if they do, you know, they're subject to lawsuits. It's all public information. So now everybody knows how much I gave to everybody in my life, which makes my family now a target because everybody knows that they just got a bunch of money on top of, you know, everything else, right? They become targets. And so you need to have a living trust to be able to handle those types of scenarios. It keeps it out of the court system. It gets everything directly in control of the family members, and it keeps everything private. And anonymous, right? So that's the living trust as estate planning. That actually provides no protection to lawsuits at all. So some people think like, oh, I got all my stuff in a trust. And they say, no. What you have it is in a living trust, which is great for this one area that we're using it for, right, for the estate planning, but it's actually not providing you any protection. So to provide protection, we need different tools that we're going to combine with that trust that you have as part of your estate plan. And what you want to be doing with that is there's two things you want to do. One is protect, and the other is hold how do you hold things anonymously? On the protection side, what you end up with is typically using some type of corporations, right? So, or statutorily created trusts. So those can be in the US, right? That's typically going to be like your traditional LLCs formed in Delaware, Texas, Nevada, or Wyoming, where there's strong charging order protections. Or you're going to be using a series LLC, which will allow you to form and maintain a single company. But what's special about a series LLC is it can essentially create an infinite number of LLCs for free. So like you can form one company, which will allow you to create a million companies. And then with that, you can put each individual property inside of its own bucket for liability purposes. And it doesn't cost you anything extra to do that. When we start thinking about like a lot of people are thinking about like S corporations or C corporations, you should think of those as having the exact same legal protections, but they're just different tax results. Right. So remember I was telling you before that I was like, hey, there's the estate planning, there's the asset protection, there's the tax, and then there's like the investing. Those are our four legs of the stool. Right. And then you can start to see now that like, oh, they're like, they start to blend together. Like the things that we want to do for tax could be some type of corporate thing, which also could be part of like our legal shield and how we move that together. But that's the protection side. There's also the anonymity side that helps stop lawsuits before it starts. But I wanted to see if you had any questions first about like the protection side of things before we jumped into like the anonymity holding of assets, anonymous holding of assets, and anonymous holding of corporations.
No, let's go right into the anonymity part. Why is it useful for someone to become anonymous in order to bulletproof themselves and their business against property lawsuits?
Yeah. So the major piece about anonymity is you have to understand like what actually is the basis of what really creates lawsuits to begin with. You have to understand that lawsuits are actually a business, and they're a business that's played with this game that says it's like going to Vegas, and that like, I'm going to put X amount of dollars down, which is my attorney fees. And I have Y chance of winning, 30% chance of winning. And then if the math works out, that I say, yeah, the amount of money I have to spend with my chance of winning and the amount of money I can make if I win, it's going to be X. If the math works out, then we go ahead and file the lawsuit. It's just pure mathematics, right? About, and that's why everybody's like, ah, oh, these sharky attorneys are out here, you know, all trying to get paid. It's like, yeah, because they did the math and they know that if they sue you, you're likely to pay them to go away, right? And that's the game that most of them are playing. That's why like 98% of lawsuits settle. They actually don't go to court and don't go to trial. It's because that's the entire game that's happening. It's just around the settlement. Now, notice in a lawsuit, I actually don't get to control any of it. A lot of people are like, well, I'm an honest person. I won't get sued. And I was like, that honesty is not a defense to a lawsuit. Honest people get sued all the time and they lose everything they own all the time because it doesn't matter. Being honest does not matter. It matters for you and it matters for God. And that's it. You know, it don't matter in the law. That's it. So what you want to do is you want to make it where the law, you're not an attractive person to become sued, right? And so how do you do that? So there's some things in here I can't control. I can't control the claims that they're going to make, all the things they said I'm going to do, right? And I can't control how much money they're going to have as a demand for it. That's just going to be whatever things they and their attorney come up with. The things I can control are, one, how exposed are all of my assets? So if I own all my assets in my personal name, it's terrible because that means if anything happens anywhere in my life in any of my businesses or any cars that I'm driving or any cars I might own, whatever, boom, now I have a trigger for a lawsuit. What can they get when they sue me? Well, they can get everything I own because everything I own is in my name. If I have my assets or my properties that are going to be inside of an LLC structure, the LLC, Series LLC, et cetera, now all of a sudden I don't own those assets anymore. The corporation owns those assets. And if they sue me, they get nothing because I don't own anything. So now what I've done is I said, well, even if you sue me, you're not going to get very much because I don't own very much. Everything I own is protected by all these corporate shields. And if you sue one property, that's great. That's the most you're going to get is one of my properties. I doubt that's going to be worth your time. And the expense that you have to pay the attorneys to be able to recover, because all you can get is the equity inside that one property, which is what, maybe 20, 30% of the property value, right? Another thing that I can do that adds even greater defense than we just had is the anonymity that I can own using trust structures. I can actually own all of my corporations and all of my assets and properties anonymously while leaving on the existing indebtedness, all the existing mortgages on them. And what that allows me to do is to make it look like if anybody ever wanted to sue me, it makes it look like I don't own anything at all. And there's a big difference between suing, going and saying like, oh, well, I'm sure that this guy owns XYZ assets because I can connect up all the paper trail between all of the legal filings, estate filings, et cetera, and be like, yeah, he owns this and he owns this, he owns this. There's a really big difference between that and saying he may own some of them, but we're not sure how. Right? All we're doing is introducing like a bigger level of doubt. Because remember, to the attorney that's suing you, they have to make sure they get paid. So the moment that there's a threat that says we could win this lawsuit and shell out all this money and we might still not get paid, you know what they do? They take the next case where they know they're going to get paid. And so it makes it where there's less incentives for them to come after you, just simply because you've decreased the amount they can recover through the corporation, and you've increased the level of insecurity. You've made them nervous about filing the lawsuit to begin with the anonymity.
Thank you. Like, I've always been curious about why are Americans so litigious? Is it because winning in property lawsuits is such a big business where you can make such a considerable amount of money that it kind of makes it's a no-brainer that you should take people to court?
Yeah, it has to do with how the legal system is constructed, right? The reason we have a society that's like built a little bit different than how do we decided that we wanted to handle disputes between people. We wanted essentially attorneys to be like another branch of government in a way, right? And so they crafted laws to facilitate that and then economically incentivized it in that way. It makes for a lot of like messiness, I think, and like for a society that probably doesn't run very smoothly. It seems to really disenfranchise the lower economic tier. And most people getting into properties, right, is their very first investment because they move and they keep their old house or like whatever, right? And they're starting to lease it out. So it's usually like the very first investments or one of the first investments they get into. And the bad part about properties is that you can't move them. You can't move them, right? Any other asset, like I can move, I can do something with, I can move it offshore, I could do whatever, right? But a piece of property is, it's stuck. Like there. And that's why we need like corporations and trusts and insurance policies to protect those types of assets.
Thank you. What are the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make when it comes to their properties, that kind of land them into a lot of trouble in terms of lawsuits? Is it that they simply don't know the law? Is it that they don't respect the law? Is it something else that, people who sue them, are able to leverage that they haven't thought about?
Yeah, the last one is really the biggest one, right? It's the majority of what gets everybody in trouble is that they own properties inside of their own name. Because if you do take the proper precautions on protection, you want to generally like follow the law as best you can, right? Life is going to run smoother and you'll make more money if you do that in the long run, right? Because when there's a lot of turbulence with like legal problems or other things like that, it distracts you from being able to run your business and it's not good. I have a non-moralistic way of being able to say, don't be a criminal, is that it actually most of the time crime doesn't pay in the long run. It's really great in the short run and not great in the long run, right? So like following the laws like becomes important for people wanting to do that. But ultimately, you can't control the lawsuits that are going to get filed against you, and all you can control is the protections that you put in place. And what that really means is taking the properties that you have, taking the assets you have, and moving them out of your name. So that way, no matter what happens, you've already planned on the very worst possible thing happening. Great, let's plan our lives around that because the more bomb-proof we can make things that are important to us as money, then the better our lives will become because the less we're worried about what's going to happen if it all goes away. Which I just had a conversation with a billionaire friend of mine that was telling me the exact same thing that we were getting into like what's his like biggest fears were because I do some life coaching for some wealthy people like on the that's just part of what I do and service to others and. And that was amazing. And so I was like, yep, yeah, here it is again. You can be a billionaire and still be afraid that it's all going to go away. And what are you going to do about it? So I think by protecting yourself, you can mitigate, a lot of those fears, handling things appropriately, and then help you live a better life.
Thank you. Now let's imagine a very practical example. Let's say you own a lot of properties. Some of them you do Airbnb on, and there are certain people that actually will pretend to fall or trip or something on your, I don't know, on your in your house or something, just to be able to, file a lawsuit. Is there anything you can do to prevent being sued? Like for example, for the case to not even go to court, such as, I don't know, putting video cameras. I don't know what you're allowed to even do to prevent like these kind of like almost like scammers to take advantage of you and to sue you for stuff that really don't even are not valid at all.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? Like, what do we do against like people that are like intentional bad actors that we're inviting into our lives and into our space, whatever that might be? And honestly, like, I haven't ever been able to hear or find a way in which that says that nobody can sue you for any reason, because you can. Like, I could go sue anybody for any reason that I want to, right? The question is how long will that last before it's kicked out of the court system by like motion of summary judgment or some type of legal proceeding, right? So the stronger you have your legal shields in place, the quicker you're going to be able to get that lawsuit dismissed and to get rid of it and get it out of your life, right? So that's where your legal protections will come into place. Like you should have your asset holding company should have only that one asset in it, was the asset that they got hurt in, right? Probably inside of like an LLC or a series LLC or some type of corporate structure. If you wrote a contract with them, that should have been with a totally different entity because it's not just they slipped and fall on the property. What if they claim that there's some type of contractual dispute with the lease or the short-term rental, or that you had with them, right? Okay, well, that you don't want that to go to you personally, because if you sign that lease, then they're going to sue you personally. So you need a separate company that's actually going to be your lease signing company, or your operating company is what we call that. Mm-hmm. It's the company that does all the operations, that owns no assets, it just handles all of the business. And that'll help get, you know, that lawsuit taken care of. And then you have your third stool, which is like, hey, well, that's why I actually bought insurance. Because my, you know, my insurance carrier is really good at, it's handling those types of issues where it's like a $2,000 to $5,000 claim, and they just need somebody to grind through the, how do I get rid of this as fast as possible? And that's actually why they charge you so much money for that first like $50,000 in coverage, is because that's where the majority of their claims lie. And so that's why they're like, cool, it'll be $10,000 for us to give you like that $50,000 in coverage, or $5,000, whatever, right? And you'll be like, well, how much is it after I buy that? What is it from getting that first $50,000 to $1 million in coverage? And they're like, it's $500. And you're like, that's insane. How can it be $950,000 more in coverage just because of, you know, one issue? And it's because most of the claims are actually small, like you're saying. They're not saying that everybody that has an injury is a scammer, right? But it's that same type of thing that you're able to just be like, cool, I'm 100% bulletproof protected because I have my corporate structures, and hopefully my insurance carrier just takes care of everything. And if not, then I'll be in the court system. We'll pay a little bit of monies and attorney's fees, and they'll take care of that lawsuit quickly.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Yeah, best way to connect is royallegalsolutions.com. That's a website you'll find on their homepage video that's going to have a full breakdown of everything that we do for all of our clients, including on the asset protection, the estate planning, the tax, and on the investing side, as well as like our vault of resources that has all of our training programs. So we have full-blown, you know, 10, 15 module training programs and all the tax strategies we do, the asset protection strategies, et cetera. So if you want to really nerd out and get to a really high level of education on all this stuff, you can get that absolutely for free at my website, royallegalsolutions.com.
Thank you.
Follow me for more property wealth strategies.